Josh. Lur. 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 Lur.
Who's ready for a crunchy peanut butter bonanza?
Wow, I am. Man, I'm, that came out of nowhere for me. I'm hungry now. Do we get, like, potato chips on that sandwich?
Why, would you put potato chips on a peanut butter and jelly bonanza?
Seems like a possible thing that you could do. Like, it's got, like, the sweet and salty. It's like a combo that you can do.
Playing for? Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly bonanza.
Wow.
It's peanut butter jelly time.
Bonanza. All right.
Like it.
And what a bonanza we have here today, Josh, because who do you have with you in the wiggle room today?
It's not Tyler Weigert. No. I can spoil that. It's certainly not Nick Majorano after I got shredded to bits on the voicemails this week. No, the guest this week in the wiggle room, literally inside the wiggle room with me right now, I just have to give a quick shout out to my very good friend Zeke Smith is here in the wiggle room.
Well, thank you, Josh Wiggler.
Josh Wiggler.
It's out. It's already there.
I could not be more excited to be here.
It's fun. This is great. This is exciting. First guest ever inside the wiggle room.
The wiggle room is great. It's everything I imagined it would be in my dreams.
Do you dream about this place?
I dream about the wiggle room every night.
Oh my gosh.
It lulls me to sleep. You know there's nothing more than I want than to be inside the wiggle room.
I lulled you to sleep on Twitter the other day.
Hey, well,
so let's get to the bottom of this now. Am I the guy who sucks the most kneecaps, or is it Zeke? Is Zeke sucking the kneecaps at this point?
Oh, gosh. Well, all I'll say is that while it is Rob's voice that lulls me to sleep, it is thoughts of the wiggle room that also lull me
it's
to
a
sleep.
It's a co-lulling.
Yeah, it's a co-lulling.
It's a double lull.
Similar to a co-wronging, but different.
Right, right. Yeah. Nobody gets killed here or close to death.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so we have a lot of stuff to get to. Zeke is here. We have a game, of course. We have your submissions. I heard a lot of talk about the Wandoff when I was in Reno this week, Josh.
Really?
People were coming up to me, love the Wandoff. Wandoff is the best invention in podcasting in the last 10 years.
That seems extreme, but I'm excited to hear that people are excited about the Wandoff. I feel like people are excited about the Wandoff now that they know that Wanda is beatable. That's a surprise, I'm sure.
I'm not sure people are still going to be excited about the Wandoff for much longer.
But it's popular right now.
But we are going to beat it into the ground while it's
all
hot.
Right. That's great. That's how this is supposed to go.
Yeah, that's how we do it. All right. So anyway, Josh, you mentioned that the podcast that we've done over the past week, including the voicemails with Nick Majorano and the mayo jar seemed to be upset with you. Is that are you aware
it wasn't
of this?
Good. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I'm aware of what happened. I'm aware of what happened when Nick Majorano of Survivor Co. Wrong appeared on the voicemails podcast. Zeke, are you aware of this? Do you know that you have a role to play in this sordid tale?
Wait, I have a role to play? No, I was not aware.
Rob, you have any audio material for Zeke here for him to freshen up, to catch up on what Nick had to say in the voicemail show?
I do know I invited Nick out to Big Bear with me and Dave this weekend, and he said no.
Well,
why?
You dodged a bullet, man.
Right, he didn't say why. He just
why did
said,
you invite him?
I don't know. I mean, clearly that was the worst decision I've ever made.
It's a mistake.
It was a mistake. Wait, how did I get into
you'll
the
middle
see.
You'll
of
hear.
This?
You'll hear. You'll hear.
All right.
This was Nick Majorano on the RHAP voicemails talking about Josh Wiggler. What's going on with you and Tyler Weigert?
Tyler Weigert. First of all, I forgot this story. I was talking to Allie's mom. All right, calm down. At her viewing party or whatever, and she brought up Tyler Weigert. She brought up Josh. She was like, "I don't know if you know Josh." And like, I know you played, but I was like, and like the first words out of my mouth were, you know what they were? I said, "Oh yeah, I love Josh Wiggler." Like, I was so annoyed with it. I was like, "No, I don't. I don't love Josh Wiggler." I was just trying to like appease Allie's mom. Anyway,
what was she saying about in reference to?
She was referencing his like pregame articles or an exit interview. I was just thrown off when she brought up his name because like I don't want to hear his name on and about. So anyway, No, I'm not doing a pizza date with him anymore because we went out to dinner. Remember when we went out to dinner one time? You, me, a couple other survivors.
Yes. In the summer.
In the summer. And he brought two friends along. Mm-hmm. He went around the table. Zeke and I were sitting next to each other. And Wiggler went around the table and complimented each and every person in front of everyone. And me and Zeke looked at each other like, did he just compliment everyone? Did he just suck everybody's kneecaps in front of every? So that's the type of guy Josh Wiggler is.
Wait, so hold on. I'm confused. So, and again, I thought that you guys were just like joking around, but this seems like now this is like a real, you have beef with him that when we were at that restaurant.
Yeah.
You feel like that he was
fake.
He's too nice.
Okay. Well, I think it's phony nice.
Yeah. All right, Zeke. Now, did this happen?
Did you and Nick gossip behind my back?
Did you share a moment?
Did you share a moment with the mayo jar behind my back?
I will say this in perfect honesty. I do not remember this. This might be a little fan fiction. I remember. I will also say, and I have said this to Josh. I believe I've actually said it on the record somewhere. That the only instance in which I would be willing to stick my hand in a bag of rocks would be to defend Josh in a rock draw between Josh and Nick.
Yeah, how about that? So. Zeke would go to rocks for me against Nick Majorano. How about that, Nick? And I know you're listening, Nick, because you listened to the Taryn Armstrong interview, the Taryn show. You said you're going to interview my wife. I know what interview means.
I have plans to interview your wife a little later.
Okay. Let's relax. Okay. Let's relax.
All right.
I didn't care for Nick's behavior on the voicemail show this week. But what I did enjoy that he complimented me in terms of my secret cardio abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was nice, my carbio, as it were. And I also thought that it was funny that he thought that everything that I do is an elaborate ruse to get people to betray him on his second time out on Survivor, like he's going to go out to Survivor a second time.
Yet, Majorano's getting S back.
I thought that was cute. I thought that was great.
All right. This is a wiggle room. No, we don't need to talk about Nick here. We can.
No mayo. Yeah. Mayo free. We can move past the mayo, but if the mayo jar is going to open up on the wiggle room, the wiggle room's going
to
fire.
Everybody wants to be the mayo jar hero and try to crack that mayo jar open. Show
is that
off.
A Foo Fighters title? It felt like you were shoehorning something.
It was a Curb reference. It was a Curb reference.
Okay. But,
all right. So let's get into everything going on the heroes and healers and hustlers. And we haven't had a chance to talk with Zeke outside of the match game. So, we're four episodes in, Zeke. Do you have any big picture thoughts on this season?
I guess for me, it's interesting because this is the first season that I'm watching, I guess, as a veteran. And, for so many years, I was
outside of your seasons, of course. Yeah.
Well, right. Which I think that's its own unique, hellacious experience. the playing Survivor is so much fun. Watching it back, not fun at all.
Not great.
Right. Because I, for so many years, I think I was fanboy, really into the strategy, watching whether or not I was conscious of it or not with the intention of playing. And I sort of have known that I was going to play basically since Second Chances. So for all of the, I haven't really just kind of watched a season as a fan since Worlds Apart. But I'm not really a fan anymore. I'm a former player, and it really does change your relationship, I think, to the Thursday morning quarterbacking, which is, I think, the heart of RHAP. I guess having been out there and watching how what happens in real time translates to the episode, I know there's just so much that we don't
that you're
know.
Missing.
And I think I also have so much compassion for the players who just want to like someone to say something nice about something they did out there. And I feel like my relationship has changed. And for me now, I'm less interested in the gameplay and the strategy just because we don't know enough or I don't know enough. I'm more interested in Survivor as a television show and how it's made and kind of how it is as a TV show and not so much about the Thursday morning quarterbacking, which is just a long way to answer your question. No big picture.
No takes, no hot takes. Do you want to compliment anybody, make them feel better about themselves?
Well, sure.
Is that Tyler Weigert?
That's a Tyler Weigert for there sure.
Who do I like? I really like Lauren. I think she's an interesting casting type. I think generally across the board, great, great, strong women in this cast, which is, you know, kind of unique for a Survivor cast. I love Lauren. I love how she's getting in there. She knows she's on the bottom, trying to like woo Dr. Mike, using that information that Cole gave her to try to pull Dr. Mike. I don't know that it was effective, but I like that she's playing, and I like her straight talkingness as a player. I also really like Dr. Mike. I think he's a ton of fun.
Dr. Z.
I think Dr. Mike's in a great position because everyone's telling him everything. And I remember in Millennials Gen X when I was in that position where everyone's telling you everything and you just have all the power and it's so much fun to be in the know. Yeah. Really like Allie. She had a quiet episode this week, but she's pretty high on my list. You gotta love the super fans. Gotta love Orion. Great narrator. I don't know if you know this, but it is the sacred duty bestowed upon you by the Survivor gods. If you are the fanboy out there, to be the narrator.
Yeah,
that is your number one job.
Yeah.
To narrate. And he's knocking it out of the park. So,
well, both of you guys are kind of very famous Survivor narrators. I mean, you did a lot of narration on both of your seasons, both of you two. How do you guys feel Ryan is doing as a Survivor narrator? I'd be curious for your take on this, Rob. Have you weighed in on this?
I have not. I mean, I think that Ryan has been very good in the confessionals. You know, I don't really tie. Like, it seems like that there is some sentiment out there to people that feel like, oh, the person who is really being seen as the narrator, that person, I'm seeing too much of that person. Like, it's almost like that there's pushback to, why do I have to hear everything that this person has to say? For me, it's not something that I really mind.
Yeah, I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I think Ryan's doing a great job. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of negativity in the Survivor fan world and that we should root for each other a little more.
Pat each other on the back.
Yeah.
So run the Bolton.
Yeah. Zeke, you said that you were not so much into the Thursday morning quarterbacking, but, you know, watching the show as a TV show. Do you feel like that there's any Survivor who you feel like is particularly misunderstood so far through four episodes based on what you've seen?
I don't know. I actually don't know that Alan Ball got a fair shake, right? Because he had a case of what I like to call the day two jitters. So when you're out there, there are a handful of days which just seem to be harder than other days. And day two is one of those days. So if you look back, like the day that Aubrey struggled and the day that Dave struggled, day two, like there's something about like all the adrenaline of day one is worn off. You haven't slept in like almost 5 days because you don't sleep like for the handful of days before like you actually get out there. The realities of Survivor hit you. And then everyone has this idle paranoia. And I think we see it manifest in a lot of different ways. And I think we just saw it with Alan that day. But if you listen to what Devin says when he's comparing working with Joe and Desi versus working with Alan and Jessica. Ashley and Jessica, I keep mixing up and I'm so sorry. I'm having a hard time keeping them straight. I think Alan really chilled out and was not the loose cannon we thought him to be. I think he was actually kind of like a chill, cool player. You know, Devin clearly picked to work with Alan over Joe. So I don't know that Alan got quite the fair shake that he deserved. Does that make sense?
Sure. That I was just saying that it felt like you were saying that there are certain survivors that you think are getting a raw deal on social media. And I wanted to know if there's anybody in particular that you felt like that was the case with.
If I am not paying attention to Survivor strategy, I am certainly not paying attention to Survivor social media at all.
Yeah.
Staying away.
Okay.
Yeah. You're queer. It's a smart choice. It's a wise choice.
Well, you know, Survivor has bestowed many blessings upon my life. And I, you know, paying attention to Survivor social media is just something I no longer have time for.
Yeah. Mute.
Yeah.
Mute button's your friend.
Yeah.
Because I haven't found that the majority of Survivor strategy talk takes place over social media. It's not where I find most of my strategy think pieces.
No.
Right.
Well, yeah. With 280 characters, Rob, things are changing. The evolution of Survivor strategy in terms of Twitter.
Josh, I'm only working with 140. What do you think? I'm Joe Mina over here?
Hey, I know. Joe Mina with 280 characters.
Wait,
holy,
how did Joe Mina get 280?
It happened on the day the 280 was issued. Joe Mina was one of the first to get 280. And depending on who you are, that is a blessing or it is a curse. Yeah. If you're Johnny Fairplay, it's not great.
That was the equalizer. Tony had the super idol. Joe Mina gets 280 characters on Twitter. That's the equalizer.
Personally, I am thrilled to death that Joe Mina has 280 characters. This was like the first thing that really convinced me that 280 characters on Twitter is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. I will say I've not paid attention to too much of what has been happening with the survivors on social media, but I will just say this generally, like, you're a cast, you're a family, you're stuck with each other. Be kind to each other on social media. There's no reason to like go after each other, especially if you won the battle.
But if that was a pre 280 world you're talking about,
was it?
You know, in the 280 characters world, it might be different.
Who knows?
The pull is too strong. You just have to say what's on your mind.
I guess I don't know. I have thoughts on. I think if there is any player that I have like thoughts on, it's on Joe Mina from this episode. I feel like Joe Mina may have won the battle but lost the war.
How so?
Because a swap is a time to, I think, really build trust with who is going to be your buddy in the merge. And I, you know, Joe is in a tough spot. It seemed like the closest person he was with on the healer beach was maybe Cole. But the problem is, like, hoes before bros, I think, with Cole, right? Like, Cole's got a buddy. Cole's got someone who's got a little bit more to bring than Joe can. And I think Joe had an opportunity to really build trust with Desi, but he kind of blows up at Alan and leaves Desi really upset. Like, she's crying in that confessional. And I think what, I will grant you that, like, this is something I was not always good at out there, but what you want to do with your alliance buddy is make them feel like they're working in a partnership, right? You're making decisions together. You are executing plans as one. And I think that if Joe would have just said, hey, Desi, here's the deal. I got an idol. I think we might be losing Devin as the swing vote. Let's go out and let's antagonize Alan and let's antagonize, you know, the rest of the tribe so that they put the votes on me. I'll play the idol for me and we'll be safe. Right. That would be a great way to build trust. But instead, he just sort of goes and does it by himself and really upsets her. And I have to think that if we are looking at Joe in the model of a Tony, yeah, right? I think just important as what Tony did is what Trish did, right? The social cleanup, the ability to go make people feel safe and secure. And I don't know that Joe has that ability. And I think that if I'm Desi, I think I'm not close with Joe from the healer beach. It's not like Devin and
Ashley.
It's not like they have like a pre-existing bond that's a new bond. I don't know if I'm Desi. I don't know how much longer I want to work with Joe. I might go hop into bed with those two, because then you have a hero, healer, hustler alliance, sort of a secret alliance potentially. You might be able to bring in people from your original tribes and do something special in the merge. So, gosh, yeah, he won it. But if he executed it with a bit more finesse, I think he could have built an ally for life. And instead, I think he isolated Desi.
I think it's an interesting point about the swap being like your pre-merge prep time. Like, this is like you're chopping up your ingredients. You're like getting all of the vegetables diced up and put on the cutting board. And like, cooking time is the merge. And so you want to make sure that you have like a really clean and simple setup, or as best of a setup as you can possibly get in that pre-merge swap period. And I've never really thought about it in quite those terms. But from that perspective, I think that, you know, Joe did play really aggressively this week. But I think that there, you know, one of the things that coming into talking about this episode that I really was thinking about was just like what the optics of the season are right now, where the healers haven't lost a single person. The hustlers have lost a couple of people. The heroes have now lost two people. And if the healers are like this really tight knit crew that like they were wrecking the game before the swap and they were just, you know, killing it in the challenges, are they seeing like this moment where like they have to preserve the healer numbers because there is some situation that's brewing where it's going to be all healers versus whatever ragtag remnants of heroes and hustlers are left? And if that's the case, is Joe doing some table setting by doing whatever he can do to get rid of Alan, even if it's maybe ruffling Desi's feathers a little bit, I think is probably the risk. But yeah, I don't know. That's just something that I've been kind of chewing on.
Yeah, well, I think in something, Rob, I think you have made this comment before, and I definitely felt it was true in Game Changers. There's a bit of a disadvantage for a tribe not going to tribal council. And I would say it manifests two ways. The first is that the people we see acting the most erratically in this episode are Cole and Joe. And I think they're both fans. I think they both know a lot about the game and they're both excited to go play Survivor. And we're on what, day 11, day 12?
Yeah, I think it's 11.
And like on Game Changers, we didn't go to Tribal. Like I didn't go to Tribal until like day 15. And at that point, Survivor's so boring. You want to go and mix shit up. And so I think you're seeing the boredom being, you know, in having them make decisions that they might otherwise not make. I think the other difficult part is if you don't go to Tribal, you don't know where the lines are drawn. But everyone knows there are lines within the tribe. And I think there's a lot of anxiety there. And for me, I always would have preferred to know where the lines were than to just be guessing. Because then it just adds to that like constant stream of mental paranoia.
Yeah. And I have to give the credit to Steven. That's more of one of his thoughts that I tend to repeat of that. You really don't know where the alliances stand until you go to that tribal council. And then you see how your so-called allies ultimately end up voting with you. And that's how sometimes we end up with sort of like these battle tested groups can go into a majority. And ultimately, because they're the tighter group, they've been through more crap together already, they're able to stay solid against a lot of adversity in the game. We really don't know how these healers are going to fare if they end up coming back together, but I don't get the sense that this group is going to stay six strong. I feel like that there are a lot of cracks in this healers group. They just haven't had the opportunity to have one of their numbers go out yet.
Well, I feel like, I mean, I'm wondering, like, where is that opportunity for the cracks to emerge? I mean, Rourke could be in trouble if her tribe goes to tribal council just because she's the outlier. She's the only healer currently on the beach formerly known as healer. So she's somebody that I would be worried about just for that reason. Although I think she's really savvy and smart and I think that she could pull something together. But there's three healers over at Yawa at the Red Tribe. They've got the majority there. I guess it really depends on if there is any kind of 2v2 situation that shakes out between Devin and Ashley as a pair versus Joe and Desi. So just for the short term, I feel like the healers are probably okay. And if that means that more heroes and more hustlers have to fall before the merge, you're just going to end up arriving at a merge situation where there are six healers on the board and you feel like everybody's going to be targeting the healers for that reason alone. And something has to shake out from that where I feel like the healers would have to stick together just because of what those odds
necessity.
Are.
Yeah, and
yeah,
just,
that might be pure fan fiction.
No, I don't think so.
I just feel like that's the drift.
Because I think that on the other side of that, when you start to sort of like, if you were going to start to look at this on like the whiteboard and like draw all the connective lines between everybody else, you know, these pairs that we have with, okay, Ben and Chrissy were working together, but now Chrissy is over on the other tribe with Ryan and Allie. So if you presume that Chrissy and Ryan and then Allie is going to start working together, like that's a group of three. And then also, so Ben is talking with Lauren over there. Devin is talking with Ashley. So it's really like all of the, you know, cross tribe alliances have all been made between hustlers and heroes.
Right.
And we could end up in a, you know, depending on how these next couple of votes go, but all of the heroes and all of the hustlers versus the healers once we get to the merge.
Yeah, that's kind of just where it seems to, like, if you're just wafting the smell from the merge to your nose, that's what it smells like to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh, you sound very hungry today. You're talking about food prep and chew on this and wafting.
I'm trying to figure out when we're like 15 minutes away from wrapping up the podcast so I can quick order now on a pizza order that I've got on standby. So yeah. Yeah, I'm hungry. No pizza for Nick.
No pizza for Nick. So, Zeke, you've been through a few of these swaps in your time in Survivor. Is there anything from your takeaway with the swap that you noticed this week?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting situation because I've had, much like the healers, I was on the original Nuku tribe, and we, you know, really didn't, we lost JT because he was the lone Nuku, but really we were doing the same thing that the healers are trying to do. We were trying to stick together because we hadn't been to tribal council. We didn't know where the fractures were, and we felt like we could go into the merge and dominate. I think the problem is when you don't know where the fractures are, you're gonna fracture in the merge, and then I think you're in a more dangerous situation than if you were to try to suss things out pre-merge. But I think my best swap experience was I knew I was on the bottom of the millennial tribe. And then we swapped and I found my buddy Chris, who we sort of had a connection from casting
sooner.
And
I've always wanted to do that.
It's a great thing to do.
Felt great.
Chris, Brett, Dave, and Adam and I are going to go watch an OU game in a couple of weeks. And we're really all excited to go do that.
Nice.
I knew where I stood. And for me, the swap was a chance to bring new life to the game and make brand new relationships that would ultimately carry me into the merge, make new relationships with Chris and David. And I think I think there are a handful of people who are getting a chance to make those new relationships. I think someone like Ben, who is just a really charming guy, he is getting a chance to make connections with those healers who I do think in those first at least like two or three merge votes will dominate the merge. And what you're looking to do is to set the table, to set your mise en place and create that flexibility that you'll need to be able to switch in between alliances in the merge. And I think that's what you want to do. But I'm worried that these healers aren't creating the flexibility that they need. You need flexibility late in the game. You can't be rigid.
Devin's very flexible. He's into yoga.
Yeah, he is very flexible.
He's not a healer, though. He's a hustler.
Yes. But, well, I think he's doing exactly... I mean, he doesn't really have any choice but to make new relationships,
right.
Does he?
Right.
Zeke, did you like the way that the secret advantages have been deployed this season with the advantage that we saw in the first episode and then again this week where we saw Jessica have the opportunity to take another player's vote away at Tribal Council?
And this, I think, jives with one of the unsung themes of the season has been secrets, like these little secrets that are being passed between members of the game unbeknownst to everybody, where Ryan is passing an idol over to Chrissy, or Jessica is passing, you know, like a bomb, basically a hand grenade over to Devin. Secrets, I know, was like part of, you know, was baked into the design of one of the themes that they wanted to explore creatively this year.
Yeah, well, nominally the theme is heroes, hustlers, and healers, but I think, and Jeff has Probst has said this in many interviews, that like the sub theme of the season is secrets. I don't understand why it's not like the explicit theme of the season. I think unlike the other like tri themes that we've had, heroes, hustlers, and healers, they're not in conversation with each other. They're not in competition with each other. They're not even like necessarily naturally occurring identities that people would hold in life. I don't understand why this is not Survivor Secrets, because the theme of secrets is propelling the story this season. I mean, yes, Chrissy didn't play the advantage, but I really love how the passing of the secret to Chrissy allows her and Ryan to come together. I think that was a really sweet, fun moment. I think that's going to probably yield results as a really cool way to make relationships. And on the opposite end of that, then poor Jessica gets what I think is just like straight up a disadvantage. Well, I mean, I got
that's what the word is.
That is not an advantage.
It is a disadvantage.
But it's almost a disadvantage for her. Well, I guess this illustrates the theme, because if she were able to keep the advantage secret, then it would be an advantage. But because she told Cole and Mike and that information was largely, you know, dispelled, Devin's going to know who gave him that block. So,
but she was the one that told everyone. She could have just like kept that to herself. She didn't have to tell a soul in the entire game. And then nobody would have ever known it was from her.
So if she kept it a secret, it would have been an advantage.
Yes.
See, that's what I'm saying is I think this theme of secrets, of how you use information, who you share your secret with, it is shaping the season narratively. And I think it would be so cool if instead of saying your heroes, your hustlers, your healers, if they just said, hey, this is Survivor Secrets. There are going to be a lot of secrets in this game. All of you are keeping secrets, because it's true. Everybody like doesn't want to talk about their job or where they went to school or how much money they make or whatever it is about them. Everyone keeps secrets from the other players, and say there are going to be secret advantages. There are going to be ways in secret, which secrets are shaping the season, to create the paranoia around that and to create the narrative around secrets. I think story-wise would help the season, because the initial two or three episodes we're really lacking in story. And I think that that's what the theme should do, is it needs to help do the heavy lifting in driving story in the early episodes. Because I know like some of the storylines, like, for example, like aqua dumping and wearing people's clothes, those are conversations you have every single day on the beach, right? Everyone discusses their bowel movements. We celebrate those who have them. We are concerned for those who don't. We want to know where you're having your bowel movements so we can, you
avoid.
Know, right, exactly. Are you doing it in the water? Are you doing it in the sand? There's a lot of comparing notes about method.
Did we ever successfully rebrand the aqua dump? Did you and Akiva ever feel like you had like a real good term for that, by the way?
No, I think the closest we came was dropping anchor because that kept the marine theme.
That feels clean. I was going to suggest the deep blue too, but that's just me.
That's good. Yeah. Aqua dump is a technical term. It is what you are told to do. Like you're told to aqua dump.
What if you don't have to?
Well, then you need to speak to Dr. Joe about that. That's a problem.
Oh, that's a special thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes you a few days to acclimate, right? But
anyway, you were on a great point until.
Oh, well, no. It's just saying that from, you know, one of the interesting things of being out there and then watching how what happens translates to the television show, I would have to think if these stories, which are literally daily occurrences, are making the episode, it's because there is a lack of story. And like, say what you will about a theme like a millennials versus Gen X, at least it gave us something to talk about or to have like, you know, strong opinions for or strong opinions against. If you're in my case and I was a millennial, there is something to the way in which it helps fill the gaps because we've run this experiment, I guess in this season, 35 times. And there are only so many new stories that can arise from dumping a handful of people on a desert island and making them build shelter and look for idols, et cetera. And this, the Heroes Hustlers, it's whatever, the Triple H theme. I don't think it's doing that story lifting that we need, but it seems like there's so much potential in Secrets, and I don't get why we're not just going all in on Secrets.
Well, let me rebuttal.
Secret Island.
So that to you, now I know that you have watched a ton of Survivor and Big Brother. Survivor Secrets sounds a little bit more like a Big Brother season where it's, oh, it's going to be the summer of secrets here on Survivor that we're going to be revealing secrets. It just doesn't seem like a show idea that Survivor would do.
Survivor, Hidden Truths.
Hidden Truths.
Well, could we find a way to make it sound like Survivor?
That they are really...
What about Survivor Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Legends like of that. The Hidden Temple. Are you a legend of the Hidden Temple?
With your guide, Kirk Fogg.
But you don't think like Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers could be characterized as a different way of doing like Big Brother clicks?
I don't see it as clicks.
A lot of Big Brother in the wiggle room now. I'm holding up a card.
But you do, you bring up a good point of are they sort of like grasping at straws in terms of a theme title based on the casting in terms of like how many other different groups can you come up with? Should we be doing more sort of themes based around a concept as opposed to different groups of people?
Right, because I think that, you know, there are three, in my mind, three different types of themes. There are the versus themes, heroes versus villains, millennials versus Gen X, etc., or the, you know, whatever, white collar, no collar, blue collar. And then you have the themes which are about like changes in the game, so like Redemption Island or Exile Island. And then you have themes which are just about narratives, right? For me, the best theme ever was Second Chances because it gave everyone a narrative entry point into the game, right? Everyone was writing this story about themselves. And I think that, yes, on the conceit of, you know, RHAP is largely talking about the strategy, but so much
and
of
also
Survivor
being
is
really funny. About that.
That killed me. That was a great joke.
Yeah. You know, is about the storytelling and about the arcs of the individual players. And I think themes are meant to help individuals because you're out there trying to tell your own story. The theme gives you a little bit of structure as to how you're going to tell your story and tell your arc. And I think that I could really go deep dive into like storytelling structure on Survivor. I don't know if this is the, I don't know.
We'll
if this
keep
is
going down the rabbit hole. We'll pull you back out when we need to.
All right, great. Well, you're out there trying to write your story and you are obligated to write it within the theme. So like I kept getting asked questions about being a millennial and how things related to being a millennial. And I was like, fuck you. I hate being a millennial. Right. But I think with Second Chances, it was really great because it tapped into the stories that we love about Survivor, which are about people seek that you are drawn to Survivor because you are seeking something in your life that is missing. You are drawn to Survivor to test yourself, to find something more. And we love it when people do test the depths of themselves. We love it when people overcome obstacles and have breakthroughs. I think second chances push those types of stories that we like. I think we love to watch Steven prove that he is tougher and more than just JT's buddy, right? We love to see Spencer become a man and try to figure out what it means not just be an arrogant kid, but to be a whole person. Like, we love to see Kimmy Kappenberg taking another shot at life. And I think the story structure that they put upon you encourages you to have a different type of experience, right? I think that's something that Game Changers lacked, right? Game Changers didn't encourage anyone to grow, right? We'd already been put on the mantle of like, all right, you're awesome. Now
continue to be that way and be even more awesome.
Right. Which, you know,
yeah, sure. You're mileage may vary and such and such.
But I do think the theme, I think, directs characters in a certain way. And I don't know that this one encourages people to grow or change or have the types of stories we want to see on Survivor.
I think it's an interesting point about Second Chance. And I do think, like, you know, it's not, I think it's a divisive season. I think that there are things to love about that season and things maybe not so great. But I do think one of the things, like, you know, walking through that that temple in Cambodia in the opening couple of minutes and seeing all of these legends of Survivor lore, or not even legends, you know, in many cases, people who are like footnotes who are now getting this second chance and getting this second shot, was this very powerful image. And I think it didn't fuel every single story because a lot of people fell early, or some of the stories for people who went a long way, it just never really quite clicked for whatever reason. But I did think that it did have this sort of epic quality to it at the start. I think that because of the format of Survivor and the fact that this is, you know, one of the many reasons why I think people respect and love this game so much that maybe they're listening to 17 podcasts a week about a single episode, is because there is this very real gritty physical quality to it where people are slugging it out on an island in the middle of nowhere, although it's probably just Fiji now, but that is still, you know, pretty remote. And it's dirty, it's grimy, they're starving, you're seeing the toll on their body. And there is sort of this, you know, far away epic quality about that, that I feel like the hard line to draw is, I don't know that just Survivor Secrets works. Like, if it's Survivor, you know, Secret Island, and it is some sort of, you know, game mechanic being blended in with a theme, I think is an interesting idea for sure. But I think that there is that quality to Survivor right now, that there is this emphasis on the game mechanics and this desire to shake up the theme, especially if Survivor is kind of dropping anchor, so to speak, in one spot where you have to think about how you are going to change the name of the season from season to season. I think it's a lot of food for thought, not to bring it back to food, but I don't know.
And just also to add in with the second chance aspect of it all, that don't forget also with that season that we had that fan vote, and there was, you know, a lot of like those players coming in feeling like, okay, well, not only am I returning to the game, but I've been voted back into the game by the fans, and I can't let people down. So I have to come into this season and try to, people believed in me, so I'm out there to sort of like change the narrative that's about me. So I think that only added to what you're talking about.
And I think, I think what it, a good Survivor theme, I think, invites the players to invest in it. I think nothing more invited people to invest in the theme than Second Chances. I think there's also, I'm trying to think of another way that this can be illustrated.
I think Heroes and Villains.
Heroes and Villains. Well, I guess it's more the negative, which this theme illustrates, which is there's no real way for people to be invested in, I'm a hero, I'm a healer, I'm a hustler, right? Because they're positive qualities, and you're like, thank you for saying that about me. But you would kind of look like a jerk if you really doubled down and were like, yes, I am a hero, I am heroic, right? Or how do people relate to the theme? Like, how do people relate to the label of being a healer? I think there's not a real way that the players can invest themselves, right? Because also for some people, and I think this is true on Game Changers, you question whether or not the label is accurate. And And you have never thought of yourself in that way, so you don't know how to articulate yourself that way. I think also what is challenging about this theme, because they're not naturally in conversation with each other, is that we don't have the potential for kind of like, I would say like a Zeke and Brett moment, right? Because as labored and forced as the Millennials Gen X theme felt, like you do have that moment with two people having a conversation about how things are different across generations, and the theme pays off in a great way. I don't know that we're going to have like a moment between like a hero and a hustler being like, we might see things differently, but aren't we the same? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's not a hero, a hustler, not a hustler, a hero.
Indeed.
All right. So let's, you know, we're talking about some serious stuff. We've got a game to sort of lighten the mood a little bit. And we played this earlier this season. It was a big hit. And so let's play another round of everybody's favorite wiggle room game.
I can get it out too. What the f***?
Okay. So this is how this game works. Zeke.
It's really the only wiggle room game so far.
So far.
You know, I guess just by default, it's the favorite.
Yeah, we're going to play you some clips from the episode and the secret scene. And then it is up to you two to come up with what the answer is. Now, I don't know if you want to work together as a team. I don't know if you want to play against each other. That's up to you.
I'm holding out my hand. I'm extending the offer. Alliance?
I am accepting the hand.
Okay.
And, you know, the alliance.
Team up. We're teaming up. Okay. Two heads are better than zero.
Okay. Here we go.
Some Culpepper math for you.
All right. And Brad Culpepper is going to be my guest on the recap this week.
Wow!
Yeah, how about that?
Special guest star Monica Culpepper?
I hope so.
Got to get some third Personica in there.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Here we go. All right. Question number one. And this is from a secret scene. What is Ashley saying to Devin on Levu Beach?
They're probably going to try to suck just like I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even trying to suck. I'm just telling.
Okay. Is she A, saying that they're going to suck you in, or B, suck kneecaps?
Oh, okay. Well, this is a raw subject for me right now. This is a sore subject at the moment. I mean, I gotta imagine kneecaps were not on the mind of one Ashley Nolan.
Right. I think she's a fan, but I don't know if she's that big a fan.
Yeah. I'm gonna say it's A, suck me in.
They're probably going to try to suck you in just like I am.
Or it's you in.
I'm not even trying to suck you in. I'm just
No, no kneecap sucking going on Levu Beach.
No kneecaps. Yeah, everybody's kneecaps look pretty good. This is a great season for kneecaps. Does that count as like sucking kneecaps if I'm complimenting everybody about their kneecaps?
I think so. We'll have to ask Nick.
That's fair to say, right? Yeah. That's an objective truth.
Yeah.
Great, okay. Great kneecaps on Levu Beach. Not so great on the puzzle skills.
No.
Okay. All right. Question number two. Your boy JP, Josh, that he talks about the benefits of his own strength in this extended confessional. What word is left out of JP's confessional?
Yeah, so right now being the only strong person on this tribe, I think is kind of going well for me because I think I'm needed. Without me, they wouldn't have been able to do the challenge. If they vote me off and they go to another strength challenge, there's no way they'll be able to do it or be able to compete, and they're just going to put themselves in the
Okay.
Is the bleeped phrase A, the hurt box, or B, the dog pound?
Wow. Oh. The hurt box or the dog pound?
Well, part of me wants to say that JP the firefighter is thinking about dogs like our other fun firefighter friend,
indeed.
Eddie Fox.
Well, he indeed. Does only think about dogs, the dog Thor.
He loves his dog, Thor, and he is a firefighter and Eddie Fox of the dog bar fame. I got to say, first of all, either the hurt box or the dog pound. Like, I feel great about JP using either of those. Like,
the hurt box.
Let's see more of that. Is that a sports term, the hurt box? Is that
I don't know.
Okay, good.
I don't know that I've heard it before. I think I'm going to start using it.
I feel like the hurt box is a little clever. It's a little cute. I feel like the dogs might be on the mind, but I feel like that could be a trap.
I don't know. I'm leaning, well, because hurt box is probably like a misspeak, right? Which that seems like it could be a JP thing.
What would he? What does he think it is? The penalty box, the Hurt Locker, or the movie?
Yeah, the Hurt Locker, or in like a world of hurt.
The Hurt Box. Do you want to? Do you want to take a chance? Do you want to? Do you want to go with the Hurt Box instead of the Dog Pound? Dog Pound seems like the safer route.
I think Dog Pound's more accurate.
There's no way they'll be able to do it or be able to compete, and they're just going to put themselves in the Hurt Box.
In the Hurt Box.
Damn it.
I'm hurt by that.
The hurt box.
JP Hilsebeck with the Hurt Box. He's surprising me. That's a nice surprise. I like that. I like the Hurt Box.
Okay.
That's got to be a thing. That would be a great name for a Survivor episode too, the Hurt Box.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh my God, what's inside that? Is it, you know, you've got the neutral box and now you've got the Hurt Box?
I think it'd be a great Survivor theme.
Survivor Hurt Box.
Survivor Hurt Box. Is that a Foo Fighters song? Also a Hurt Box.
Yeah. Okay. They said in the press release, JP was going to be busting out Foo Fighters references. We got the wrong JP.
Okay.
Who knew?
And then, all right. So this is the for all the marbles. Round three. Okay. This is Cole talking about his position in the game post swap.
I'm coming into this split real strong. I have the girl that I'm with me, who's also going to be with me in the boat. I have Mike, who's been my number one and two since day one. And we have the numbers on these guys. There shouldn't be any problem with this at all.
Okay.
Is
this,
man,
A, the girl that Cole is macking it to, or B, the girl that Cole is crushing on?
Okay. I think this is pretty safe. This is the girl Cole is crushing on. I think that Cole is too sweet to be saying he's macking it to Nurse Jessica. I think he's too polite for that. And he's, you know, he's talking about how she's super cute. Like, I feel like you're crushing on super cute. You're not macking on super cute.
Yeah. I'll concur with my friend Josh Wiggler.
Okay.
Also, that was a big laugh. That was very... The editors, they're killing it.
Yeah. A+.
That was good. That was A+.
I'm coming into this split real strong. I have the girl that I'm crushing on with me.
Good.
Okay. We did it. Congratulations.
Strong high five. I got to say, I'm glad he said crushing. I feel like the girl I'm macking it to, like, we're docking some points from, like, the very pure Cole Metters that we're getting on the show.
Though I believe Taylor referred to him and Figgy as macking in the shack.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. But that's more Taylor than Cole. Like,
definitely.
Like, if there's, you know, if the Cole and Jessica things, like, see, it seems cute. It's cute, not hot. You know, like, this is something that, like, it makes me happy.
It's the virginal figtails.
Yes. I don't think you're macking in the virginal figtails. I don't think so. The Mac okay. Shack, really? That was the thing?
Macking in the shack.
I don't want to dig deeper into that.
Yeah,
we
talked about it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And shout out to Randy Newpel for the What the Bleep game this week. All right. So I guess we should get it. Enough of this foreplay. I guess let's get into why everybody is here. Let's kick off this week's round of the Wand Off. And the Wand Off is sponsored by, very excited to have, LaCroix Sparkling Water.
Wow, stop that. Stop that. No. You're joking.
I kid you not. Calorie sweetener. And sodium innocent beverage with nothing artificial, just like virginal figtails. Zero calories, zero sweetener, zero sodium, innocent. LaCroix Sparkling Water is certified kosher, gluten-free, vegan, and non-GMO, all natural, environmentally friendly, and flavored with a hint of fruit essences. 13 LaCroix flavors, all would be great Survivor tribes. Tangerine, mango, apricot, and passion fruit are the newest. Peach, pear, coconut, lemon, lime, berry, cran, raspberry, orange, and grapefruit, and pure, unflavored, round out the lineup, not round Howard.
So, no lie, my refrigerator is filled with LaCroix. I'm a huge LaCroix fan. I want to give a shout out to apricot, which is one of my favorite flavors.
You're an apricot.
Peach pear is also very good. I also like, it's like the cucumber blackberry. It's one of the curate flavors. Very good.
Blackberry cucumber.
Blackberry cucumber. I drink like 7 LaCroix a day. I don't know what I would do without it.
I don't know what
I would do without LaCroix either.
Yeah.
Peter LaCroix especially.
Peter LaCroix is the best. Yeah, I have a cran raspberry here. So it's great stuff. LaCroix Sparkling Water is available nationwide. For more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water or check them out at LaCroixWater.com. And for a full list of retailers, visit LaCroixWater.com. LaCroixWater.com. That's LaCroixWater.com. All right.
So you really weren't pastoring me. Like, LaCroix is like a genuine sponsor right now.
Yeah, just because Peter LaCroix was in the Wiggle Room last week, you know.
That's crazy. That's
all right.
Crazy.
It's all happening. It's all happening. All right. Jeez. So we got so many. We were inundated with Wandoff submissions this week. I had to break them down by theme.
You had to break them down by theme. Okay.
The first one is called Wanda's Secrets.
Yeah, Secret Wandoffs.
Secret Wandoffs. Okay. All right. So we got some Wandoff submissions about the swap. And again, I don't know if I can play everything. I had to just sort of like jump in, you know, at the chorus for a lot of these. So, all right. Here we go. Here is our first Wandoff submission. Oh, by the way, do you want last week's winner up top?
Yeah, let's talk about last week's winner before we move on. Who won the Wandoff last week? Okay. I'm sure it wasn't Wanda.
All right. Well, the tabulator got involved with the Wandoff, and he has given us the results of everything from last week. And with over 400 votes cast on the Wandoff, with 42% of the vote, congratulations to Will from American Shannon Gates. Cole New World is your winner of last week's Wandoff. They're getting a buff in the season-long Tournament of Champion Wandoff.
Wow, they'll be in the finale.
Tournament of Wanda, yes. Okay.
That's amazing. Congratulations to Will and Shannon. That was delightful. A Cole New World, indeed. It was wonderful. It was great. 42%, that's amazing.
Keep track of these numbers for when you go to vote. Okay, all right. Here is entry number one. Okay, these first two are just purely about the swap. Let me start you off with number one, Sarah B. Snoop Dogg has been a popular fixture here in the Wandoff, and we kick it off with a little bit of Swap It Like It's Hot.
Swap it like it's hot, swap it like it's hot, swap it like it's hot. You got the buff on your arm, so glulevu yawa. Jeff played the best game, swap, you got it going on.
Okay, so that was Swap It Like It's Hot.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
That's
not
good,
bad.
Good groove, good beat, solid on the rap.
Okay.
Swapped it like it was hot.
All right, and then I have an original submission, I believe, unless this is a song that I haven't heard yet that they're parodying. This is from Lee and JD with a song called Swap.
Swap right now, survivors drop your buffs. Jess has got a full block buried in her lunch. Hey Joe, your game was almost done. Idle turned around, managed to roll out our lunch.
Okay, so that's the original song.
That's definitely a real song.
But I don't know what the song is.
Here's more.
Idle gave him no chance.
Turn of the millennium track.
Right, or potentially like a theme song to a television show.
Oh, man.
But that's, yeah. Oh,
can we Shazam it? Do you think that would work?
You could try that. Hold it up to your phone.
Do us a favor. If you're submitting into the Wandoff, let us know if it's a parody or an original. Just for the
purity of the competition. Yeah, let us know. Especially me, that I'm not going to be able to obviously figure it out.
No, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Can I also say, so I maybe don't listen to RHAP as much as I used to.
Wow.
And this is my first hearing Wandoff songs. High quality parodies.
The Wandoffs are good. The Wandoffs are on. Everyone's really bringing their A game to
great,
the Wandoffs.
Great job.
Except for Wanda. She's really not.
All right. So let's move into the Joe category. We've got a lot of entries that are just about Joe Mina.
Hey, Joe.
All right. Here's our first entry about Joe. This is number three. This is from Dan S. He has a song about Joe's frustration with constantly being compared to Tony.
No, I'm not Tony. Although we're both ecstatic when we blindside so supremely. No, I'm not Tony. I might run around for idols, but I am not on Team TV. I'm not your unicorn, but do not be forlorn. Mr. Mina's even rarer. I'm a Loch Ness Monster. Don't you call me Tony. Don't you know I'm Joe? Don't you call me Tony?
Okay.
I don't know why. Don't you call me Tony? Don't you know I'm Joe? That just kills me. That is spectacular.
Okay.
And also, what's wrong with being called Tony?
Nothing. Tony's
That's
a great
no
name.
Higher compliment in Survivor Land.
A fine name.
So, all right, that's from Dan S. That's number three. All right. Shut Up Tim is back this week. He has an entry that...
How's Tim doing? Is he okay
He
got removed from the first wand
off? He's okay, that he's resilient, and...
And we've widened the net. Everyone's invited in now.
Okay, and he has a parody of a Smash Mouth classic, which I believe was featured in the first Shrek movie, about Joe's move at Tribal Council this week.
Jessica thought love was only true in fairy tales.
Stay with the rhythm now.
But then she met Cole, now she wants the D. Cole told everyone about her advantage. As dumbly as it may seem, it screwed up all of Alan's dreams. Because Joe read Ashley's face. She couldn't deceive him. Played his idol correct. Now he and Desi are fine. And Devin said, ooh, Jeff, that's not an advantage. And it blew my mind.
I will say performance 2, lyrics 10.
Tim, truly, Shut Up Tim is the bravest human being on the planet, yeah, as far
I
as I'm
like
concerned.
The part about Devin where Devin said,
I loved it.
All right, keep going. More Joe songs. Okay. This is an entry from Eric H, number 5, and he has the Wu Huang clan here with a shout out all about Joe.
Shame on a player who trying to run game on Jumina. Clony Buck Wild with the idol. Shame on a player who trying to run game on Jumina. He'll vote your ass out. Yo. Joe's never out. Check his authority. He'll get it done even when he's in the minority. He's no joker. Play him as a joker. He'll make your game look mediocre. He be acting psycho anyway. Be like, hello, bring the votes my way. Burned Desi though, so he's gotta show his loyalty. He used an idol on himself because Ashley gave him the idea. Did Alan Dern, he cracked him open like a coconut. Oh, too soon, his image stuck in his head like JP's butt.
Yeah, that was well done.
Wait, where is he? JP's what?
Blindside, taste the game of Jomina. Rah, here comes the reign of the malicious hyena. Devin, he may have mismanaged, but wait a second. This is no advantage. Joe, still come.
Are you following all that?
I mean, it's a lot. I thought I caught a Jean Hu shout out earlier on in the first part, which I thought was nice.
Okay, that's the Wu Huang clan. Okay.
Wu Huang clan. That's clever.
All right.
I like it.
That maybe this is something that you guys can tell me about. This is something that was new to me. Felipe has a parody of a song called Eye to Eye that was from the Goofy movie. I don't know exactly what he's going for here.
Why are you looking at us for the Goofy movie?
Joe found a hidden idol. He wanted all of the control.
I don't know what's going on with this one.
I don't know. I think... I'm all for an obscure reference. I'll bake in Final Fantasy shout-outs to any podcast that I possibly can, but I'm not part of the goof troop. I don't know what you want
say. That's fine. All right. Let's move on to our Jessica and Cole songs, okay? This is from Alyssa from Minnesota, and she has a song called Careless Survivor.
I'm never gonna play again. I'm guilty. Let's have forgotten. I guess I am a fool. I should have known better than to cheat a friend and waste the chance that I've been given. So I'm never gonna play again the way I play with Jessica.
Okay.
Nice.
There's your Wham fill of the day. Okay.
George Michael Zahalski.
Yes. Yes. All right. Here is entry number 8 called Don't Trust a Call.
She wants to trust me. Woo. She wants to love me. Woo. I'll drive a Prius. Woo. Woo.
Don't trust the Cole, never trust the Cole, won't trust the Cole, he'll tell everybody.
She wants to trust me, woo, she wants to love me, woo, I'm not a redhead, woo, woo, but still.
Don't trust the cold, never trust the cold, won't trust the cold, he'll tell everybody.
I like the I'm not a redhead lyric.
I feel like we found the real Wanda.
The real Wanda. Okay. All right. This is a song about Jesse's block from Luke from Niagara.
And I promise I won't tell Ben, Lauren, or Dr. Z, but it don't really matter when we win immunity, cause Jesse's block could send Devin to rocks. He'll think it's an advantage, but man, won't he be shocked? Jesse, can't you see? You're the dream girl for me. And guys, I know I shouldn't talk, but have you heard about Jesse's block?
Okay, that's Luke from Niagara.
Nice.
Okay. All right. This one.
Jesse's blog or block?
Block, as in I'll take.
I haven't been
for the block.
Haven't been reading the block.
Okay. This is one. I don't know how long we're going to stay in this one. Okay. This is from Alton, and he has a song called Coal Digger. Coal Digger.
Oh, God.
Now, I ain't saying she a coal digger, but she ain't messing with no Josh Wiggler. Ain't saying she a coal digger, but she ain't messing with no Josh Wiggler.
Okay. That's fine.
Hot stove. Not feeling great about that. Don't feel very good about that.
Now are you ready for the Allen entries? Okay.
Feel actively bad about that. All
Zeke,
right.
You're still hanging in there?
Yep. Okay. Definitely.
Barely. Okay. He's not doing great. He's not doing well. He's fading fast.
He's fading.
You know, this is my first regular season RHAP, and it might be my last.
Wow.
Okay. All right. These are the Allen entries. These are all the songs that we got about Allen. Okay. This is a song from Kira, who has a very RHAP inspired Survivor Allen balls.
Crazy eyes look around. JP's pants are coming down because Allen's not crazy. He's confident. Whoa. That's a good size, JP.
Whoa.
Survivor Allen ball. Ooh. Survivor Allen ball. Ooh.
All right, that's Survivor Allen ball. That's clever, right?
I loved it. Yeah. Favorite one so far.
Anytime you can get the know-it-alls instrumental, that means you've made some calls. You pulled in a favor.
Very good. All right, that's Kira. All right, this is one from Dave from Seattle. He writes a song called My Hero Allen Ball.
Oh, Foo Fighters.
Days in football you don't talk about. You made your tribe mate take his penis out.
Oh my gosh.
Are you confident or tripping out? Chopping coconuts could lead to gout.
I mean, in theory it could.
One of the heroes was autoed out by Joe.
Okay, there you go. That's from Dave from Seattle. Big
nice.
Survivor
obligatory
fan.
Foo Fighters shout out. It is important that we got an authentic one here in the Wiggle Room on the week that we are celebrating the Foo Fighters.
Yes. And Josh, kudos to you for having the first Foo Fighters shout out of the season with the acronym for First One Out.
I was ahead of the game, I would like to say.
Good job there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another Allen Ball song. This one is called Wrecking Allen Ball.
And they voted for Allen Ball. Devin didn't vote at all. Got screwed by Joe's idol. Should have asked Joe to strip like JP.
Oh,
yeah, Joe, strip like JP.
There you go.
I feel like that performance was lacking confidence that it needed. Right?
Yeah,
like if you're gonna do Miley, you gotta commit.
I do think you gotta belt it out. Yeah, you really just want to like scream from the mountain, from the top of the mountain that Aris was meditating on once upon a time.
Yeah.
Go to the Philippines.
All right, that was Matt C. Okay, number 14.
Aris is a nice guy. Have you met him?
No, I actually haven't.
Oh, he's a good dude. Anyway, sorry.
Okay,
met him at Match Game.
All right,
nice.
I think Zeke is going to appreciate this one more than Josh might. This is Justin from Atlanta with Sunday Berkwest Night Allen football.
Intercepted. Allen ball. First of his career.
Allen did an idle strip search. Dum, 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 dum. Allen said, I'm not crazy, I'm confident. Dum, 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 dum. Allen picked a fight with Joe Mina. Dum, 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 dum. Allen tried to vote out the guy with the idol. Dum, 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 dum.
I love it. It combined two of my favorite things, football and Sunday Berkwest.
I mean, I know what football is, and I've watched football before, and I have seen Sunday Night Football before, so I have heard that tune before, but I don't watch it often. I'm usually watching Walking Dead or some other shenanigans.
But you got it. You got it.
Typically, there are no lyrics involved, right? Yeah, yeah. I think that's my favorite of the night so far.
All right. Well, I can feel for you, Josh, because that's how I am listening to this clip, which is something to do with Hamilton from Emma.
Look an advantage. We can use it to get rid of someone from the healers and advantage. Devin pulls it out when it's time to go. Going after Ash and JP, put me in the spotlight. Swore they had an idol power couple by the first night. I had to do something, couldn't give them room. I yelled at JP and his pants went boom. Swapped on day 10, Ash and...
I mean, it sounds nice.
I love it. It's a Skylar sister song. I'm a big Hamilton fan. I listened to Hamilton to sort of inspire me before Survivor. And I wrote about it in my Hollywood Reporter article. Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
And I actually, one of the producers of Hamilton... was a really big Survivor fan, and they reached out to me, and I got to go see Hamilton.
Whoa!
So I loved it. Totally got where it was coming from. Thought it was magnificent.
Okay. Can I make a Hamilton confession? So the first proper Wiggle Room song after the Ko Rong song was Darnell Hamilton by Aaron Reisberger, if you mm-hmm. recall. And not that I had anything to do with the production of that song, but when Aaron Reisberger passed it my way, that had been the only Hamilton song I had ever heard in my entire life. And I really haven't.
Bro, are you saying you haven't listened to Hamilton?
I mean,
Hamilton Day coming up.
Josh and I know what we're doing tonight.
Okay.
See ya.
All right. You got a Hamilton
boot. The Wiggle Room where it happened.
Yeah. The Wiggle Room where it happened. There we go.
Okay. All right. Just a couple more. Okay. This is.
There's more? Yes, there's more?
Yes, yes.
I love it. Keep them coming. We can do this all night long.
All right.
There's more?
If you insist, a tribute to the late, great Tom Petty is here with a song from Kevin going out to Allen Ball.
It's a big bulge, but no secret advantage. Now I know that, 'cause that buff dropped his pants. Such a beast snake, but not what was hidden in Joe and Dev's pants. The two snakes that sent me home, and now I'm free.
All right, we got.
You know, I have to say for Allen, we all are remembered from like one Survivor moment, mm-hmm. right? We've got that one thing which defines us. And I feel bad that like that's kind of what Allen's going to be remembered for, because I think he had so much more to give to the game of Survivor.
What, for making JP take his pants off?
Yeah, for like, searching the contents of JP's underpants.
I feel like that's a great thing to be remembered for. It was the first.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's a moment. True.
No shame in his game.
It was
a great moment.
Yeah. It was. I mean, I loved it.
Okay.
Wish solid. Could have been there.
Solid all right. moment.
All right. Josh, we got this entry from someone who, much like myself, a big Billy Joel fan.
Yes.
Okay. Number 17.
Billion wall, and did about as well as Johnny just stick to sports. Even though he scared JB out of his shorts. But when it came time to drop his own phone, he got huddled out. It was pretty rough. Now the tribe has spoken, Alan Ball. And you gotta give due credit to Joe.
Wow. Oh my God! Whoever did that was really good.
Yeah, I love anything with a Will Wall reference.
Yeah, whoever did that was the best one I think we've heard in any of these Wiggle Rooms so far. Like, I thought that was great.
Okay,
that was personally, I just thought that was really, really tops. Really great stuff.
Yeah,
really, really good.
Impeccable.
Whoever did that,
impeccable.
Whoever did that should just like pat themselves on the
back. I feel
like
they could have done something with the lyric. Now they've taken all the coal from the ground. I feel like that seems like a missed opportunity.
Let's not talk about missed opportunities on such a perfect song and such a really, really great submission from whoever decided to dust that out and put that into the universe.
Jenny and Colin have a song called Alan Ball So Hard, number 18.
18!
Alan Ball So Hard, Trump had a blind side.
I don't play.
Alan Ball so hard, the tribe had to blindside him.
I don't play.
Joe said, Dez, let's put our votes on Alan Ball.
Said you're gonna have to use your right arm.
Should I play it for myself or for y'all? Too bad that I read your face, baby gal.
Alan Ball so hot.
His eyes cray. Ain't they, Jenna?
Alan Ball so hot.
Why they bulging? Is he hangry?
Alan Ball so hot.
Dev's on below. What's it say?
Alan Ball so hot.
This ain't an advantage now. Devin won't ever feel safe again.
That is not an advantage.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
That's really good.
All right.
Wow.
But that's all I got. I dumped out
18,
the whole
18,
bag of tricks.
18, as old as William Wall himself. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I think maybe
I guess he must be 19.
What
now,
we need
right?
to do, Josh,
I think
is
he
maybe
might even
I'll
be funny
narrow it down to a top 10 for the future.
We cannot go past 10 wand offs. That is so many wand offs that we've had tonight on the wand off.
So each one more impressive than the last.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
It ascended.
The way in which Survivor and this podcast inspires people to create art is truly impressive.
Wow. I did think that was
yeah, it's almost Survivor and RHP almost as inspiring as Hamilton.
Wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe even more so.
Josh, did Wanda send you anything?
Yeah, okay. So listen. We gotta talk about this. So I had Wanda is a fixture here in the Wiggle Room. She is the reason why we are even talking about the Wandoffs right now. As you guys know, if you've been listening to the Wiggle Room this season, three Wiggle Rooms in a row, paparazzi. What's going on? I had reached out to Wanda with concerns. There was a big Facebook post about this in the patron group of expressing concern. Is something going on with Wanda? Is she fixated? What's happening? So I reached out to her, got no response at all from Wanda until, about 5 minutes before we hopped on the line here, so no time to screen what she sent in. There was no content in the email, no subject line, just an email from Wanda Shirk and a file. So I guess let's play it, but I mean, it's probably paparazzi at this point.
Wiggle Room exclusive.
Yeah, it's paparazzi.
Hey,
Wanda.
Fourth one out this season is another hero, but he's not named Trina Radke. His name's Alan Ball, and he's a super solid athlete, just like Trina Radke. Do you think you'd mind if paparazzi is still playing in week 5? I guess you'll find out next time now that you've survived week 4-y. Fa-fa-fa-fa-4-y.
All right, okay. All
there
right.
were some
All
new
right.
words that time.
We went to week 4-y again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think I don't know. I think we have to lose Wanda's email for a little while.
No, we can't. We can't.
I don't trust it. I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about this. We're getting, 20 submissions every week for the Wandoff, and Wanda's in eternal Wandarazzi mode. Like, she can't get out of the Wandarazzi. I think we got to call it.
Zeke, what's your take on this?
Well, for me, you can never get too much Lady Gaga. So,
about Lady Wawa?
Lady Wawa. There you go. I feel like I'm in a tough spot here, right? Because I am just new to the Wanda paparazzi fetish, and I love Wanda. I was so it broke my heart a little bit that Wanda didn't want to sing during most of Game Changers. But so I want to encourage any sort of musical creativity from Wanda this season.
Look, I appreciate that, and
to encourage some creativity for Wanda too.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not going well. It's going poorly. It's going bad. And like the RHAP listeners have expressed such creativity that I do think. Rob, if you'll allow me executive power on this one, I'm gonna vote Wanda out of the wiggle room. I think that's I'm gonna. Whoa. I know that this is like a really it's a fairly big deal, because like if you've listened to the Evolution of Strategy, you know how big of a spirit animal Wanda is for me. You've listened to the wiggle rooms, Wanda is a big spirit animal for me. But clearly she's, something's happening, and I think that we should just let that go, and I don't think we should bring it into the podcast anymore. So I'm gonna call it.
If I may, game changer.
Game changer, indeed. It is a game changer. I think, Rob, do you back this play? Does this make sense?
Whatever you're comfortable with. This is the wiggle room.
I'm not comfortable with it. Yeah. Like I don't feel great about it. Like I feel kind of terrible about it. But I just don't. Like I'm done being angry about it. I'm done being confused about it. I'm concerned, and I just hope that it all works out. But I just don't think that we can. I don't think we can have it in the wiggle room anymore. So.
Wow.
I think that's got to be I'll talk offline, but I think, just for the sake of the podcast, I think we should call it there.
Huge news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Take that, Nick Majorano, not sucking kneecaps for everybody.
No. I don't want to gloat. I don't want to get into that with Nick right now. Like, I actually feel kind of, I don't feel great about it. And like with the whole Nick thing, like I love Nick. Nick loves me. Like we're good. He and I are okay. Like I would actually really like to have Nick on the show at some point on the Wiggle Room this season. Like, this public back and forth that we do it's funny, it's cute, but like when serious stuff is happening, like I feel like, we should set that aside, set our enmities aside, as Sir Davos Seaworth would say.
Tyler Weigert.
Yeah, Tyler Weigert would like to extend the olive branch to Nick Majorano and be the bigger man, not just because I eat more pizza, and invite him onto the wiggle room, and we can hash out whatever beef is going on, if there is actual beef.
Huge news all around. Wanda out, Nick Majorano in. It's all happening.
Heartiest congratulations, Dave.
It's all coming together. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and then just to close the book on the wand off for this week, Kurt Clark, the tabulator, will have a new poll up. It will be on the post for this podcast at robiswebsite.com. We will also tweet that link out. Starting next week, we're going to get it down to 10 entries or less that make it into the show for the wand off. So bring your A game, and then we will have a little bit more of a streamlined wand off next week.
Sounds like a plan. I don't know, like a bubbly way to close this out.
Wiggle room at robaswebsite.com is the best place to send those wand off entries as well.
All right.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear them.
All right.
I'm hoping for a pick me up next week.
And Zeke, what's coming up next for you?
I'm doing a lot of fun stuff.
Besides the Hamilton bootleg with Josh Wiggler.
We're going to get into that later and into the pizza, which I think has arrived at this point.
I timed it well.
Yes. So cool stuff happening with me. Still some stuff I can't talk about, but I am doing a lot of speaking. So if you want me to come to your college or your company, you can hit me up, ZekerChief@gmail.com. I would love to arrange it. And we can do a lot of fun stuff, and we can ultimately just hang out and talk about Survivor if that's what you want. So hit me up and, stay tuned. Follow me at Secret Chief across, Instagram and Twitter. I don't really do much more than that, and I don't really even tweet that much. Fun stuff still in the works, so stay tuned.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure having you here in the Wiggle Room. And
maybe not.
No, it was great. It was fantastic. I had a good time.
Okay. All right. Of course, we've got a lot going on in terms of the week that was in Survivor, not just in the podcast, but also in the blog section of robhasawebsite.com, where once upon a time, even Zeke wrote a couple of blogs for robhasawebsite.com. Check out what the current generation of bloggers are doing now at robhasawebsite.com/blog, and be sure to check out all of the podcasts and all our Survivor coverage in our reality TV wrap-ups feed as well, the RHAP B&B with Kurt Clark, the Tabulator, and then also Why Alan Lost with David Bloomberg and Zeke's castmate, Jessica Lewis. All.
Do you think that they will do a Why Wanda Lost the Wiggle Room
they
podcast?
They should.
If they don't, I will.
Okay. We'll collaborate on it. All right. And then, of course, join us Wednesday night for this week's edition of the Survivor Know-It-Alls back in the studio with Stephen Fishback. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Team up like Chrissy and Ben did. Tell me, Jessica, when did you last play?